The Other Side of the Hill. Two linked plays by Peter Luke, based on his novel, which follows Arthur Wellesley, 1st Duke of Wellington, and the man and women who helped him between the years 1808 and 1814 to expel Napoleon's invading armies from the Iberian Peninsula. With Michael Pennington as Wellington, John Moffat as Major William Napier, Dominic Rickards as Captain Harry Smith, Cyril Jenkins as Juanita, Philip Scully as Don Julian Sanchez, June Tobin as Madre Soledad, and David March as Goya. In Part 1, Lord Wellington, as Commander-in-Chief of the British Army, laid siege to and finally took by storm the key town of Badajoz on the Portuguese border. In this, as in other battles, he had no help from the regular Spanish forces. On the contrary. Now the story is taken up by someone who not only played an active part in the Peninsular War, but who has also written the first and probably definitive history of these campaigns, Major, later General Sir William Napier of the 43rd Light Infantry. The Other Side of the Hill, Part 2, The Long Road to Waterloo.
Let me first say that the average Spaniard made as brave a fighting soldier as I have seen on a day's march. But the generals under whom he had to serve, oh dear. General Cuesta nearly caused us to lose the Battle of Talavera. General Arriafaga threw away an army at Ocaña near Madrid. And General Imaz sold the fortress town of Badajoz to the French. Little surprise, therefore, if Wellington preferred working with the gallant and effective guerrilla troops, such as those commanded by Don Julian Sanchez, alias El Charo. In his headquarters outside Badajoz, Wellington briefed the guerrilla chief before withdrawing behind the lines of Torres Vedras in Portugal.
It is vital to my plans, Senor Sanchez, to have you in the Estremadura Mountains straddling the French lines of communication. Marshal Marcena has many more men than I have, so I intend to stretch them and to starve them.
It suits my plans equally well, Signoria. It will be my pleasure to molest him. A shot in the dark, a knife at the throat. It will not be a happy time for any French on the road to Portugal.
Yes, good. But beware of your Spanish generals. As I've said before, they would rather suffer defeat than see the English winning battles on Spanish soil.
One junior officer whom Wellington kept tripping over, as it were, was a friend of mine, Captain Harry Smith of the 95th Rifles. Harry had just taken part in the storming of the fortress of Badajoz, which had, to their everlasting shame, been pillaged and raped and set on fire by drunken British troops. From the ashes of the town, Harry had rescued, intact, a girl of 14 called Juanita de los Dolores de León.
I'm Harry George Wakelin Smith. I'm a captain in the Rifle Corps, and I would consider it an honor if you would consent to be my wife.
My name is Juana Maria de los Dolores de León. I can sew, and I can cook, and I speak good French. I will be a good and true wife to you as long as I live.
Thus we left them in the 95th Rifles lines, with Badajoz burning in the background. But then an unexpected problem arose. In order for Harry to marry Juanita, a Catholic, they needed a priest. But all the clergy of Badajoz had fled with their antique bishop to the distant monastery of Guadalupe. The day was saved by a chance meeting with Don Julian Sanchez, shortly after his visit to the commander-in-chief.
Don Julian! Don't you remember me? Juanita de los Dolores.
Juanita! How could I recognize the beautiful butterfly when I last saw her as a little grub?
Overcoming his initial surprise at Juanita's announcement that she was hoping to marry his friend Harry Smith, El Charo solved their problem by introducing them to a huge bearded guerrillero called El Fraile, who turned out to be a genuine Franciscan friar and ordained priest.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Broy? Alex? Is anybody there? Orderly officer.
Did you call, sir?
Where's Major Somerset? Where's Captain Gordon? Where the devil is everybody?
Probably at the wedding, my lord.
Wedding? What wedding? Who the hell has taken it into his or her head to get married while Battle is still burning?
I'm not sure, my lord. I heard it was someone in the 95th. Could it be someone called Smith, sir?
Smith? That fellow in the Rifles, do you mean? Yes, it sounds like it. Yes, I should think that's exactly who it is.
Gentlemen, may I interrupt this wonderful party just for a moment? I would just like to drink a toast to Don Julian Sanchez and his shadows who have made all this possible. Don Julian! And one more toast to those friends who cannot be here today. To absent friends, may they rest in peace.
Music! Juanita, I long to kiss you.
I do. But first, tell me, please, your name again.
That must be the most original remark ever made by a bride to her groom. I was christened Henry.
Henry? Henry?
Henry.
Oh, Enrique.
Harry, explain to me how you found time during the siege of Badajoz. To lay siege also to my friend, Juanita.
That's easy. I took her by storm.
It may be a comfort to you to know, Senor Sanchez, that this morning Lord Wellington gave orders for a gallows to be erected in the main square.
For the benefit of his own troops, I hope.
A gallows has a very sobering effect on a certain type of English.
Yes, Costello?
You know Patsy Cochran's widow, sir?
That pretty girl with the donkey?
That's the one, sir. Well, the poor thing is very lonely, and she's a good, clean girl. And I was thinking that perhaps Mrs. Smith would need a maid servant, and they could, maybe, keep each other company when we're on service.
Yeah, send her along tomorrow, Costello.
Very well, sir.
Pity you didn't invite the Commander-in-Chief, Harry.
I didn't have the nerve.
Oh, Lord Wellington loves a good party.
Orderly, officer.
Sir?
When anybody who normally works at my headquarters deigns to return to duty from weddings, balls, picnics, or whatever social engagements they're attending, tell them that the Commander-in-Chief is in his office wasting his time because he cannot move his army without a staff.
Very good, my lord.
To Miss Harriet Wilson, 22 Dover Street, London. My dear, pretty little Harriet. What the devil's this I hear about you having no money? Do you not recollect when we last met that I said I feared lest you might get in some sort of scrape when I went back to Spain? Where the devil is Argyle? He's certainly not out here fighting the French. So why shouldn't he pay your debts? Meanwhile, here's a draft on Coots, which is all I can afford at this moment. I remember you shed a tear when I told you I was off to Spain. I treasure the memory of that tear because there's no humbug about you. I've thought of you often enough since. Indeed, not so long ago, I dreamt you came out of my staff, dressed as a light dragoon.
And what a very pretty sight Harriet Wilson would have made as a light dragoon. Alas for the Peninsular Army that she never appeared thus attired. She did get Lord Wellington's letter, though.
Why? Why, here's a piece of pork and greens, Fanny.
Oh, how's that, Harriet?
Some money from an old beau. Tra-la-la.
What luck. Mine are all too mean. Well, which one is it that gives you money?
Why, the great and glorious wonder of his age, Lord Wellington, no less.
He's from Spain? How does he do?
Oh, he's going on famously. Thanks to his complete lack of sensibility, his indifference to bloodshed and his excellent luck. I don't mean he has no notion about commanding an army. Au contraire, for no one has ever slaughtered so many Frenchmen. But I have to say, he cuts a poor figure in a lady's boudoir. But God bless him all the same. He's the only one to put his hand in his pocket and expect nothing for his money. Oh, Enrique! Enrique!
What is it, my love?
Come and see!
Oh, it's the French POWs. We've been holding them here in Badajoz.
POWs?
Prisoners of war.
Where are they being taken?
Oh, I don't know. The officers will probably be shipped to England to keep them out of mischief. I can't imagine what it must have been like for you living under the enemy, poor darling.
It improved my French.
Oh, you spoke to them?
Well, I had to. I worked in the town hall. And I can tell you, I learned quite a lot.
What a lot we've got to learn about each other, sweetheart.
I would like you to kiss me.
Not here, darling. Who's that tall fellow staring at you, Major?
Well.
There.
Oh. No, no, Capitan. Au revoir.
Who is that damn fellow?
Capitan Sula. He was the French officer in charge of the town hall. I worked for him.
Have I reason to be jealous, Juanita?
Of course not. He has a wife and a little boy he loves very much. They live near Bordeaux.
Well, all the same, I'd rather it was farewell, not au revoir.
But it makes me feel so sad.
War's a sad business, darling. Oh, look. Here comes Johnny Kincaid, remember?
Yes.
You met him at the wedding. He's just been made adjutant. Hello, Johnny.
Hello.
You look a bit put out, old fellow. What's up?
I've just seen the Frencher who gave me this horse. A bit embarrassing, really.
Fortunes of war, old boy.
That's not what I came to see him about.
Would you excuse us, darling? Johnny and I need to talk shop.
I need to help Jenny Cochrane tidy up the tent.
There's a spot of bother, Harry.
What?
It just happens that our friend Sanchez is a close friend, or perhaps relative, I don't know, of the Mother Superior of the convent in Badajoz.
And?
Some of the nuns were raped.
I wouldn't put anything past the 3rd Division.
3rd Division were not in that sector of the town.
Oh. Well, who was it then?
I Company. Your old 13 platoon.
Damn their eyes. Why can't they ever keep out of trouble?
I'm afraid it's serious, Harry. You see, the Mother Superior, Madre Soledad, is not just any old nun. She's something to do with British intelligence.
Do you know what my nuns are praying for, Julian?
I have little Latin, Madre.
They're asking for something they can never have, poor things. They're praying for the restoration of their chastity. I'm sorry, I never normally wish...
If I could have got my men into the town sooner.
Oh, you did what you could. Well, I had better get on with the cleaning up.
You mop like a real professional.
Oh, I did enough when I was a novice. You never saw such a mess. They even defecated in the chapel.
Good God.
But I suppose cleaning it all up is a good exercise in humility.
The English are more brutish than the French.
To defile God's house. It is they themselves who are defiled.
They'd all be hanged if I had anything to do with it.
We have forgiven them already, Julian. But what do I do if any of my nuns are pregnant? There is nothing in canon law to cover that.
I cannot forgive myself for not getting here earlier.
Oh, it has happened to thousands. It is something that all of us who take the veil are prepared to suffer in Christ's name. Any news from Monsignor Curtis?
None of our Irish friends have been able to get through. But I'll know when we get to Salamanca.
Monsignor Curtis, principal of the Irish College in Salamanca, was the center of Lord Wellington's intelligence service in northern Spain. Madre Soledad in Badajoz and Julian Sanchez in the mountains west of Salamanca were two other elements of it. With the Badajoz area cleared of the French, Salamanca was our commander-in-chief's next objective. With the army on the march again, Harry Smith had his duties to occupy him. Juanita, new to campaigning, was put together with Jenny Cochran in the baggage train in charge of Rifleman West, Harry's soldier servant and groom. Harry's charger was a reliable animal I once owned called Old Chap, but he had a reserve horse, a fiery little chestnut thoroughbred called Chiquito.
This is a dull creature to ride, Waste.
Oh, no, ma'am. He's a poor thing we picked up in Portugal for baggage. But this Paddy I'm on wouldn't be no good to you. He's got a nice nature, but he doesn't know where to put his feet.
What about Chiquito?
Oh, well, Chiquito's a thoroughbred. You're talking about a full horse who just wants to go. We'd never see you again, missus, if we put you on him.
Cozy in his little tent.
Oh, I'm so happy, sweetheart.
Enrique?
Yes, my love?
Who is that fair lady I often see riding? She looks very pleased with herself.
Fair lady? Oh, you mean Lady Wargrave.
Does she ride a thoroughbred?
Oh, shorty. Her husband commands a cavalry regiment.
What is the difference between a thoroughbred and any other horse?
A thoroughbred is a strong and beautiful animal with a mind and a will of its own that needs a skilled and bold rider to get the best out of him. By comparison, an ordinary hack is little more than a vehicle.
So, I am riding a vehicle?
Well, in a sense. But when you've had more experience...
I can ride Chiquito.
Well... Not Chiquito, but,
He's a Spaniard like me, Enrique. We would understand each other.
Perhaps you would, too. You're a little thoroughbred yourself.
And you like riding.
Morning, lady. Hey, now, haven't we seen you before somewhere?
Perhaps.
I've got a feeling you're the young lady that married one of our officers.
Oh, yes, I am. Harry Smith.
Oh, come again.
Please?
What name did you say?
Harry Smith.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith.
You're making fun of me, no?
Oh, sorry, ma'am. No disrespect intended. They're a wicked lot, the lads of 13, for 10. And they do like to have a bit of fun.
I am pleased to make your acquaintance, senores. You are my husband's platoon, no?
You can say we're pretty well known to Mr. I beg his pardon. He must be missing us now he's been promoted.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure when he goes to bed at night, he says, oh, what a Paul Pongo Cricket and Billy Doubleday, all right. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, oh, what the old Scarper Jack with a bulletproof bomber off the day. That he miss, eh?
Now, Jackman, that'll do. Hey, but I'm going to make some introductions, Mrs. Smith. See us how we're going to be campaigning together. Now, that there's Rifleman Sniper Jackman. Bit of jailbait, if ever there was one.
I do.
Now, that sorrowful-looking creature was Rifleman Billy Doubleday. Keep your hand on your small change on either. Hey, and that's Rifleman Palmer, otherwise known as the bomb-proof man, because he's so thick, no weapon invented will go through it.
And you, senor, who are you?
Tell the lady the truth, Pongo.
I'm Sergeant Prickett. Sergeant mine. No common rifleman like this here.
Rifleman, best man in the army!
I look forward to
getting to know you all better. Perhaps you would like it if I cook for you one day.
Well, that's an offer we'd be silly to refuse, I know.
Hey, what can you cook, missus?
I could make you a good puchero.
What's that, lady? It's stew, dummy.
Hey, Mrs. Smith's going to cook us up a stew.
Yeah, and I can hear something else and all.
There is thunder, yes?
No, Mrs. Smith, that's not thunder. It's something you'll hear plenty more of now you're up the sharp end with a rifle.
What is it, sir?
That's gunfire, Mrs. Smith.
Bernier's gone to Russia. Across the Dnieper. 12th of June.
It's a bit late in the year, isn't it, my lord?
All the more chance for him to catch a bad cold.
Fighting a war on two fronts? That's not a good idea, is it, sir?
No, don't underestimate the Corsican, Fitzroy. I've always told myself that in case I ever met him face to face. Although that seems unlikely now.
Any orders, my lord?
Yes. Find out if there are any fords over the rivers Agadir and the Pormets.
Oh, so you intend to...
Take Salamanca. See my old friend, Monsignor Curtis. Talking of the religious, it's been reported that the convent in Badajoz was desecrated. Some nuns raped. If I find out who did it, I'll hang them.
The provost marshal is looking into it, General.
Let him look sharp.
Juanita! Juanita!
No! What on earth's the matter? Sweetheart, answer me. Darling, I can't bear it. Tell me what's happened. What's that in your hand? A gold medal?
Read the back!
Rosario Gallare, 12th of May, 1809.
Sister Rosario, my best friend at the convent.
Did she give it to you? I still don't understand, darling.
A wedding present.
A wedding present? Who from?
I don't know. I'm a soldier from your platoon.
Oh, my God. Darling, dry your eyes now. We're moving on. Come on, you're in the army now.
Yes, I am in the army. Sweet Mary, Mother of God, I know harm have come to Sister Rosario.
In our approach march to Salamanca, in crossing the Agadir River, we were hit by a storm of incredible ferocity. Several cavalry horses were killed by lightning. Many bolted.
Come on, Mrs. Murray! Here, this is the port. Come on!
He won't move! I can't make it move!
Give me the whip, man! Give me the whip!
He's frightened! He won't go forward on us!
Hold on, Mrs. I'll come back and get you. Juanita, are you in trouble?
I can't make this rotary horse move.
Hey, where you are?
I can't do anything else.
All right, Wes. I've got you now.
Right, sir.
Come on up, you bloody animal. Hey, Juanita. Got on hard times now. Got the rain, Wes?
I've got it, sir.
You'll be all right now, Juanita.
I am crying with anger and shame.
Ah. There you are, Mrs. Tense up in case it comes on the rain again.
Thank you, Waste.
Oh, the captain's coming now. You get inside. I'll go get his horse. Then I'll try and find Jenny Cochran. She and her burro probably got held up on a river.
I had rather have her burro than that pig of a Portuguese horse.
West?
Here we are, sir. Madam's inside and not very happy with the day's event.
Oh dear. Thank you, West.
Hello, darling. Johnny Kincaid's been telling me you've had your baptism of fire today.
Fire? What's that to me? Fire? I was nearly drowned by that cow of a horse. And I'm never going to ride him again. Never!
Why? What happened, darling?
You think I like to look like an imbecile in front of the whole brigade? It's bad enough looking like a peasant woman going to market on that Portuguese objet, while Lady Walgrave swaggers by on a thoroughbred. From now on, I ride Chiquito, or I walk.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I had a word with the Royal Horse Artillery Saddler, and he's come up with something rather clever.
What are you talking about?
Look in that sack.
Enrique! A side saddle!
And I'll tell West to put it on Chiquito when we march in the morning.
Oh, Enrique! I love you so much!
Oh!
On the morning of the 22nd of July, 1812, the French and British armies were facing each other east of Salamanca, where two hills called the Arapiles dominated the terrain. For reasons unknown, young Marshal Marmont was performing a series of inexplicable manoeuvres which Lord Wellington was watching intently while refreshing himself with a chicken leg.
What is that?
I see a gap between the French left and the centre. Yes, I think they may have overextended themselves, my lord.
Give me the glass.
Yes, sir.
My God, Alex, that'll do. Is General Pakenham here?
I'm here, my lord.
Ned, you see those fellows on the left-hand hill?
I do.
Throw your third division at them and send them to the devil.
Yes, sir.
Pierce thrown away nearly a whole chicken leg.
The soft and friendlies, them's ours, missus. Loud and nasties. Them's theirs coming our way.
You soon get to know the difference now. I can tell already, Jenny. The nasties are getting nastier every minute.
His lordship likes to get started early so he can get through by supper time.
Do you think the captain will be back by supper time? I know how you must be feeling, ma'am. I know the waiting and waiting and waiting for the battle to be over and then to see who it is doesn't come back. I'm sorry. I never knew your husband, Jenny. Patsy Cochran was a good man. Although he took a drop sometimes.
He was having one when the ball got him. Right through his calabash into his head.
Fuentes de Onoro it was. They buried him at Fuentes. I'm sorry. It's nice you're a Catholic, ma'am. Thank God there's a God or there'd be precious little comfort in the world. What's happening up there now?
We're advancing by the sound of things.
You think it would be all right for me to exercise Chiquito?
Just round the baggage lines, ma'am.
Good.
You know what, missus? It's not the captain, begging his pardon, that's taught you to ride. I reckon it's Chiquito.
Lord Wellington, sir.
Yes, Smith, what can I do for you?
General Vandeleur of the 1st Light Brigade says, are there any orders for him?
No, sir. You may tell General Vandeleur with my compliments to stand down. It's all over by the shouting. We'll be in Salamanca for breakfast. What's this, though? God. A pretty gal on a chestnut pony on the battlefield.
Is it, Alex? Indeed I do, sir. Do you see Harry?
No. Hold hard there! That lady on the chestnut! You're riding into hounds, ma'am. Be so good as to leave the field.
She's pulled up. She's waving to us.
Oh, my God. Pretty girl, Alex. Wonder who she is.
Your face is very red, Smith. Caught the sun, have you?
To the Right Honourable, the Lord Bathurst, Whitehall, London, my lord. In reply to your recent letter, when you asked if the army in the peninsula was tired of success, I reminded your lordship that an army occasionally needs rest, good food, and a making up of arrears of pay, all of which have been greatly lacking in recent campaigns. Now I am pleased to acquaint your lordship with the news Despite lack of the above, a decisive victory has been won at Salamanca, which will open our road to Madrid. There were no mistakes. All went as it ought, and never was an army beaten in so short a time. It is unfortunate that our men are in rags. I remain, my lord, your humble and obedient servant, Wellington, Commander-in-Chief of the British Army in the Peninsula. After his victory at Salamanca, the peer had a difficult decision to make. Whether to pursue the French in their withdrawal towards the Pyrenees, or to occupy Madrid, where lay the heart of the Spanish people. He decided to march on Madrid. It was a good decision for everybody's morale.
I'm wondering, Fitzroy, how the good citizens of Madrid are going to receive us. As foreign invaders or liberating allies?
We look more like beggars, my lord. The red coats are brown, the green jackets are grey, and there's not a man without a patch on his trousers. As for the boots...
We're just coming to the Paseo de Castellana, my lord. The main avenue into the city.
Thank you, Alex. I hope, Fitzroy, you gave orders for the green jackets to come last.
I did, my lord.
No one that'll come fox-trotting in and messing up all the others.
Poor old rifles. First into battle, last into the flesh box.
Oh, I am so excited, Enrique. I've never been to Madrid before.
Dead your brat! Rifle! Bring it!
Here we go now.
By the left! Work! March!
Oh, look at them bleeding carnations.
Wouldn't get them in the Marlin Road, hey, Punga?
Dead cats, more like.
Here, I spy some very lovely grumbling grunt over yonder.
Oh, you dark-eyed senoritas. Wait for Billy Doubleday.
See you later, my darling.
Get stuck in. You're posted.
Not a love-sick bloody vampire.
Oh, look at that one there.
The city seems to have gone mad with delight.
Yes. How do you like being an honorary bullfighter, my lord?
Very well. So long as they don't expect me to wear those fancy clothes.
There's another rout tonight, sir.
Oh, who's it this time?
General Lowry Cole.
Ah, of all my senior officers, Lowry Cole gives the best parties.
Come on, Juanita. Let's go and talk to General Vandeleur before he drains the punch bowl.
Ah, Juanita, Harry. Good party, eh? Harry, be so good as to get your wife and me a glass of punch.
Of course, sir.
Let's sit down, Juanita.
Thank you, General.
I've done enough of standing lately. You probably haven't met our host, Larry Cole.
Only to shake hands.
Well, you see, he's another Irishman. And we Irishmen know all about each other. You might be interested to know that Larry Cole was at one time engaged to Kitty Pakenham.
Kitty Pakenham?
Lady Wellington, as she is now.
Ah.
That was in Ireland before the peer came back from India.
What happened?
Oh, it was all arranged in a very gentlemanly fashion. I dare say Larry might say to himself that he got the best of the bargain.
By the way,
there's no secret about it. The Wellingtons don't get on too well. His lordship is a good mathematician, and Kitty never balances her household accounts. It drives him mad. Anyway, when all's said and done, it seems to suit the peer to be away campaigning most of the time. Well, talk of the devil.
Vandeleur.
My lord.
Anne?
May I present Mrs. Harry Smith. Mrs. Smith, Lord Wellington.
How do you do, Mrs. Smith?
I
think I know your face.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Tell me, Mrs. Smith, do you by any chance ride a small chestnut horse? Yes, I thought as much. Well, I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, but never let me see you again on a field of battle. Now, let us take a glass of wine together. Or perhaps you prefer punch? Tell me, Juanita, Are you by any chance free tomorrow morning? I'll tell you why I ask. I have been forced to submit to having my portrait painted. And as you can imagine, this is a very boring operation for me, and I would be greatly obliged if you would keep me company for an hour or so while this is being done.
With pleasure, Miller. Who is the painter?
Oh, grumpy little chap called Goya.
Don Francisco Goya?
Yes, he was court painter here, I believe. You know him?
Me? No. I don't know him. But what Spaniard has not heard of him?
How now, Senor Goya? Will that pose do?
How's that?
Will that do?
You'll have to speak up. I am rather deaf.
I said, will this pose do?
Any pose will do. All poses are equal to me. I am only concerned with people. And people are best as they are, not posing.
Yes, quite so.
How's that?
I said, quite so. They owed me well enough the Battle of Salamanca, sir.
Salamanca? You mean the Battle of Los Arapiles?
Don't give a damn what you Spaniards choose to call it. As far as I'm concerned, it's Salamanca.
I always heard the English were obstinate and insular.
Yes, when it so happens, I'm not English, I'm Irish.
I always heard the Irish were mad.
I don't know where you get your information
from. Please, 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 keep still. How can I paint if you keep jerking about? And take that disagreeable expression off your face. Unless you always look like that.
What?
You talk of battles. I have the noise of battle in my ears all the time.
Well, it might help if I had somebody to talk to who can hear me. Look, would you object if I sent for one of my staff so I could work while I'm sitting here?
Oh, if you want to work, that is good. We will both be occupied, and that will make it easier for me to concentrate on a very dull subject.
I beg your pardon, sir.
I don't mean to insult you, but one soldier in uniform is much like another. In your case, what is interesting is that you have a red face from being exposed to the sun. But your forehead, where your hat has been, is completely white. A good painter should be able to make the dullest subject interesting. You should see what I did to our former royal family. My famous group portrait of our erstwhile monarch and his relatives. Nothing in the head of any of them but vanity. And that is how I painted them. They were delighted.
Yes, well, vanity is common to most human beings, Senor Goya. Do you not suffer from it at all?
Of course I do.
Oh, and pray, what form does it take?
Women. I am vain about my ability to conquer women. Particularly so as I am short, fat, and not at all well born.
Yes, well, you have a sound technique, no doubt.
A painter has many techniques. And I don't include flattery. Ah, far too obvious. But painting a portrait is a very intimate and sensual undertaking. And one where, on occasion, a very special relationship can, I repeat, can grow rapidly between painter and sitter. Women, when they condescend or choose to be painted, tend after a while to expose themselves. And I don't mean just taking off their clothes, that silly maha-naked business, all rubbish. It got me into quite serious trouble with the Inquisition. As I was saying...
Did you hear a knock?
Huh?
A knock at your front door.
If there was, I expect my servant will let in, whoever it is. As I was saying, it is partly a question of intimacy. The painter and his sitter have been many hours alone together, sometimes talking, sometimes not. She says to herself, you are engrossed with me. Take me. Make free of me. I trust you. You would be surprised, General, how many women, beautiful women, who I paint on canvas, ask me to adorn their faces. I mean, cosmetically, to rouge their lips and shape their eyebrows.
Please forgive me, Milord.
Oh.
We were so late last night, and I overslept. I am so sorry.
Oh, say no more, Anita. And Senor Goya and I have been having a very interesting conversation, and one not at all suitable for your ears. Now, let me introduce a fellow countrywoman to you, sir. This is my little guerrillera from Badajoz, and I absolutely forbid you to paint her.
How do you do, Senora? Oh, you are beginning to look more animated already, General.
I should think so, with such a charming companion to talk to. Yeah, I hear, Juanita, your husband's gone as brigade major to General Vandeleur.
That is so, Milord.
Are you really a guerrillera, Senora?
Oh, no. My husband's in the British Army, but my sister, Victoria, is a guerrillera.
She's with Don Julian Sanchez.
El Charo, eh? Tell me, how can a young lady of good family survive the rough life of a partisan?
The rough life? They think they live better than the regular army.
Oh, that could well be. Particularly since the British government has a great reluctance to feed, clothe, or pay its troops.
And how did your sister come to be with El Charo?
Her husband, Jacinto Orellana, was in the army that was defeated by the French at Ocaña. And he has been missing ever since. 2 years, nearly.
El Charo cannot help find him?
He has tried, and so has Captain Gordon. But there is no news from the Spanish or the British.
Yes, it's a sorry business. Now, people say I regard war as a field sport, but I, perhaps better than anyone, know what a sad business it really is.
Oh, dear. Now you are looking disagreeable again.
From Madrid, the peer was faced with too many alternatives. With General Hill containing King Joseph and Marshal Soult in the south, Lord Wellington finally decided to take his Madrid troops northwards to recapture the important city of Burgos.
Major Smith, sir. General Vandeleur's compliments, and he would like to see you immediately.
Come in, Harry. Filthy weather.
Yes, foul, sir.
Harry, I've been posted.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Well, as you know, I'm a cavalryman by trade, and I'm to command 16th Cavalry Brigade.
Who's taking over from you, sir?
General Skerritt.
Oh, no.
Well, he's got a record of personal bravery.
But everybody knows he's a timid commander, and unable to make up his mind. That's why the guards got rid of him.
I'm sorry, Harry, but I have to obey orders. And so do you. But believe me, I thoroughly enjoyed being with you, Lightbulbs.
Some military historians have been critical about the peer's move north against Burgos. He was none too happy about it himself.
Lord Bathurst, Whitehall. A severe but temporary reverse. My failure to take Burgos, a heavily fortified city for which I take sole responsibility, was occasioned by the early onset of the rainy season. In order to prevent the town being reinforced by King Joseph's army from the south, I proceeded against it without my heavy siege train, which had been left for various reasons on the Tagus. Burgos turned out to be impregnable without the heavy artillery, but by this time it was too late to bring it up. It is now my intention to withdraw behind the River Agueda and, if circumstances permit, go into winter quarters.
How did you like the stew, my friend?
Good, Mrs. Very satisfying.
Yeah, very tasty. But them beans.
You are all too thin. Beans will make you fat.
Well, I've done about fat. Certainly make you fat.
You mean football?
I don't know if you can be so big and cheerful.
It was a bad winter from every point of view. To cross the River Agueda in full spate with the French hard on our tail was no easy matter.
General Skerritt, sir. Message from the divisional commander. Shall I read it?
Yes, miss.
It is my belief that the enemy will make every endeavour to possess himself of the bridge on your front before daylight. All precautions must therefore be taken to prevent him doing so.
Well,
may I suggest, sir, that we do what the brigade usually does under the circumstances?
What's that?
Put the whole battalion of the 95th into the houses this side of the bridge, and have the 52nd close by to back them if necessary.
Well, ridiculous. It's only a small bridge. Who are there now?
One very understrength company of the 95th under Captain Cardo, sir.
Well, if your regiment's as good as it's always saying it is, that should be quite sufficient.
May I not refer the matter to Colonel Barnard, who commands the 95th?
If I thought it necessary to refer to Colonel Barnard, I should do so myself.
But, General, we're to hold the bridge under all circumstances. We've had a direct order.
I am well aware of what is or what is not an order.
Damn your eyes, General. You'll lose the pickets and the bridge.
Damn your eyes, sir. That's insubordination. This will mean a court-martial for you.
Or you, sir. The odds are on you.
Consider yourself under arrest.
Another friend of mine in the Rifles was Daniel Cardo, a very decent fellow, but very much the beau or dandy of those days. Harry couldn't stand him. It was Dan Cardo who commanded the detachment guarding the bridge.
The Frenchers are almost bound to attack, wouldn't you say so, Fair?
They need the bridgehead. Just a question of when, that's all.
Can't imagine why we haven't been reinforced. Harry Smith knows the drill, even if the new gentleman doesn't. Could you do with a drop of rum?
That would be very welcome.
Colour Sergeant, any chance of conjuring up a drop of Demerara?
I've just issued the last of the rum rations, sir.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
But I kept a few tots back for HQ.
Oh, good fellow, Colour. If I have to meet my maker, he'll have to put up with a little lick on my breath.
Do you wish to see General Skerritt, my lord?
No, Fitzroy. I want nothing to do with a blackguard.
You will not punish him, my lord. One company of the 95th held that bridge to the last man on the last round. A totally unnecessary operation which could easily have been averted.
Were they wiped out?
Almost. Except for a little chap called Freer and two or three men.
What punishment could I possibly give him that would bring those gallant fellows back? Find some excuse to send him to Lisbon. We'll ship him back to England when we can.
What about Smith, sir? He's technically under arrest.
Smith! Why am I always bedeviled by that damn fellow? Oh, tell his colonel to drop the charge. But let it be known in no uncertain terms, Fitzroy, that he must learn to control his temper if he aspires to become a general.
Enrique, sweetheart, don't be so sad, please. This is the first night for a week we have caught up with our little tent. Isn't it cozy? You know, darling, Dan Cardo was my friend, too. We used to laugh so much together. He didn't mind that I like to be friends with Dan.
No, sweetheart. But what I can't stomach is that Dan went gallantly to his death thinking that I had let him down. He may even, God forbid, have thought that I did it on purpose.
No, sweet. It is not like that. Where Dan is now, he will know the truth.
I wish I could be sure.
I am sure.
Unfortunately, that's not all. You remember that rather flashy ring Dan used to wear?
Yes.
After the affair at the bridge on the Agueda, Dan's body was found with the ring finger chopped off.
Oh, God.
Everybody thought it was the French when they overran his company.
It wasn't.
The ring was offered for sale last week to somebody in the Foot Guards. Oh. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, the person to whom the ring was offered happened by chance to know Dan and recognized it.
Oh, God. Who did it?
As president of this court-martial, I will now read out the findings of the court. 1. For receiving goods knowing them to be stolen and for attempting to sell them for his own gain, Sergeant A.R. Prickett of the 1st Battalion 95th Rifles is sentenced to be reduced to the ranks with ignominy. 2. For the much more serious offence of mutilating the dead body of an officer from his own regiment, and for stealing from that body various items of value for his own gain, Rifleman W. Doubleday, of the 1st Battalion 95th Rifles, is sentenced to 500 lashes of the cat-o'-nine-tails. The lenience of this sentence is due to the fact that ownership of other valuable objects of a religious nature found on or about the accused person could not be proven.
Sergeant Costello, who, as a corporal, was wounded at Badajoz, bore witness to the execution of the sentence on Rifleman Doubleday.
The whole battalion was formed for the punishment in a field close to our camp. There was a tree in the center to which the culprit was to be tied, and close to which he stood with folded arms and downcast eyes. Surgeon Boker stood by while the buglers were busily engaged untying the strings of the cat. Poor Billy Doubleday, under the eyes of the whole regiment, looked deadly pale. That countenance that had faced the fiercest battle was now blanched in dread of a worse fate. For a moment, he tried with an imploring glance to catch the colonel's eye. The colonel betrayed much uneasiness. He had no stomach for flogging, but he knew his duty, and with a stern voice ordered the punishment to begin. The first bugler bestowed his quantum, 25 lashes, and was succeeded by another, and another. Billy's sufferings were intense. He bit his lips to stifle the utterances of his pangs. But nature was too strong for him, and he gave out more than once an agonized cry that seemed to penetrate to the very blood in my veins. 100. 200. The lashes continued in this way, till on Billy's back, no skin could be seen for blood and pulped flesh, some of which spattered upon the surgeon, who was obliged to withdraw a pace or two. At the 301st lash, the colonel ordered the flogging to cease, and the prisoner taken down. So ended an unforgettable punishment. Please God, I never witness another.
Hello there, Ted Costello. Where have you been all the days?
I've been awful busy, Jenny. How are you since?
Oh, not so bad. Soldiering on, you know. That was a terrible business about poor Billy Doubleday.
It was. But it was no more than he deserved. He got off lightly.
Lightly? 500 lashes?
The colonel stopped punishment at 300. That's not what I'm saying.
What's that then?
They found a lot of other stuff in his pack. A chalice, a silver cross, some gold medals and the like. What's the matter, Jenny?
I'm just minded of something.
What?
Well, one day, soon after they were married, somebody left a gold medal of Our Lady as a wedding present for my missus.
Who left it? Billy Doubleday?
I don't know. Nobody saw him. There was a name engraved on the back.
Oh?
It was, Rosie Gary or something like that.
Rosario Gaiari is one of Mrs. Smith's friends. A nun who was raped in Badajoz.
Oh, my God.
Not a word, Jenny. That must be a secret between us. Forever.
No one will hear it from my lips.
Least of all your missus.
Oh, the poor darling.
Swear it, Jenny.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, on your holy names, I swear it.
There now. Jenny. Have you noticed anything about me?
Yes. You're as ugly as ever.
Look at me arm.
Oh, Janie Mac, you've been made up sergeant.
Well, it makes a big difference on payday, so.
It would, surely.
You know what I was thinking, Jenny? With my pay and your wages. Well, what I'm saying is, Jenny, you need someone to look after you. And I'm the man for the job. That is, if you'll have me. Will you marry me, Jenny? There, now I said it. Well?
Best thanks to you, Ted, and there's no better, no kinder man in the regiment, nor in the whole wide world itself. Ah, but no, I could never marry again. Not a soldier, I couldn't. Not after what I went through for Pat. And they killed him in the end, didn't they? And if I married you, sure to God, they'd kill you too, and I couldn't go through that again.
I understand. I understand and respect the honest way you're after telling me what's in your heart. Let's just say that maybe, if we're both spared, maybe one day you'll change your mind. I'll be saying strong prayers for that.
In May of 1813, the peer, recently elected generalissimo of all Allied troops in the peninsula, opened his final offensive in Spain. Opposing him was King Joseph Bonaparte, who had unwisely placed himself at the head of two French armies. These, by mid-June, were concentrated in the neighborhood of the town of Vitoria, a road junction just south of the seaport of Bilbao. Lord Wellington's plan was a bold one: a huge outflanking movement through the mountains to the north. It succeeded beyond any of our wildest dreams. The battle over, the troops immediately set about seizing the vast quantities of loot left by the French army.
The best rear guard to a beaten army, Alex, is the loot they leave behind. Not much chance of an effective pursuit now.
Seems that King Joseph has systematically plundered the whole of Spain. Fitzroy says they found a number of works by Velasquez.
Have they indeed? Do you know one called the Water Cellar?
I can't say I do, sir.
Look very well on the wall of my house.
You there, Sergeant! Get your men and march those prisoners back to brigade. I want to talk to that officer there.
Very good, sir.
You, sir, are you in command of this lot?
I was.
I've not seen that uniform before. Are you Spanish?
Yes, King Joseph's guards.
Never heard of them. Where do you come from?
We're Spanish, taken at the Battle of Acanya.
What does that signify?
We were offered a choice. Either be sent as prisoners to the island of Cabrera and then be left to starve, or form a Spanish regiment under King Joseph. What would you have done?
I certainly wouldn't change my green jacket for that pale blue affair of yours.
Why not? Joseph is the legitimate king of Spain.
Napoleon's brother, legitimate? Hold hard! Julian Sanchez, what are you doing here?
Looking for him. Not the man I want.
Harry. Listen, I'm your prisoner. Take no notice of these men. They're bandits.
Who is he?
It's your brother-in-law, Harry.
My brother-in-law?
Jacinto Orellana. Victoria's husband. A damn turncoat. And a daughterer.
My God.
Yes, I'm Orellana, but I'm your prisoner, Major. These people are cutthroats. They don't know the rules of war.
Let Cerrone's men respect the rules of war. But traitors, they kill.
Now!
Get that horse, son! Get him!
God damn it! You've shot my prisoner!
I shot a prisoner trying to escape. All according to the rules of war.
You tell me that man's my brother-in-law 1 minute and you shoot him the next, damn it!
I'll save Victoria and Juanita a grave embarrassment, Harry. Jacinto Reliana comes from Santi. The same village as I do. I've known him all my life. And I can tell you, that man was long overdue dead.
Yours is a terrible story, Victoria. Terrible. Yet, in some ways, wonderful, particularly if it has led you to think about the religious life.
I cannot think of any other sort of life, Reverend Mother.
You say that now. You may not always want the cloister.
I want it with all my heart.
Perhaps Julian Sanchez was not altogether to blame. I have always known him to be an honorable man.
I don't know what to believe. War coarsens people. I don't even know what I wish to believe.
The sisters and I will pray for you, for Julian, and for the soul of your husband, Jacinto.
Thank you, Madre. You have been a mother to Juanita and me in more senses than one.
It was my promise to your own dear mother, who was my best friend.
But now I have a pleasant surprise for you. You know some of our sisters were violated after the siege by British troops.
I heard. It was the one thing everybody dreaded.
Well, one of them in particular received a special dispensation from the bishop to return home for a while. Now she is back with us. Come in.
Victoria, dear, it's Victoria. Rosario. Oh, the little baby. How sweet. Oh, look, he's got blue eyes and fair hair.
Hardly surprising under the circumstances.
Oh, look, he's smiling.
Probably only wind. So, Sister Rosario, the good news is that when I have had a word with His Grace the Bishop, and I don't anticipate any problem, Victoria will start her novitiate here with us.
Oh, Victoria, that's wonderful news.
A year should give her time enough to decide whether she wants to become a nun or not.
Oh,
meanwhile, perhaps she could help you with the baby.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Mother. And what news of little Juanita, Victoria?
Oh, only good news. And just imagine, she's become a great favorite with Milord Wellington.
To the Right Honourable the Lord Bathurst, Whitehall, my lord, following upon our decisive victory of Vitoria, our right flank has pursued the enemy into the Pyrenees, where the latter are continuing to fight a stiff rearguard action. On our left, after a hard fight, San Sebastian has fallen to our forces. I'm happy to inform your lordship that our leading troops have finally crossed the border into French territory.
You ready for your share, me wanting, my lot?
Oh, yes. Put it down, won't you?
Very good, my lot. There's your razor as well, sir.
Thank you. Have I any official functions today, Alex?
The prefecture, sir?
Oh, my God, so I have. Yeah, Alex?
Sir?
I cannot remember whether you did or did not claim the acquaintance in London of a certain Miss Harriet Wilson.
Most certainly not, my lord.
Oh, well, then you won't be interested.
It's my job to be interested, sir.
I recently received a rather curious letter from that young lady. It's over there on my desk.
You want me to read it, sir?
Just have a look at the second page.
You will, I rather fancy,
be surprised when I tell your lordship that I'm about to become an author. You are surprised? Of course. But you must believe me. Under the auspices of the well-known bookseller, Mr. Stockdale, I'm about to publish my delectable memoirs. Moreover, I'm informed that the whole of London is trembling with expectancy at the event. Ain't it droll that little Harriet Wilson should cause such a stir? But what fun! All the nobility and gentry, that is, those who are not with your lordship in the peninsula, have been battering down my front door in an endeavour to find out whether their names are mentioned in my little book.
Would you call it blackmail, my lord?
I certainly would.
And what will you reply?
Alex, Napoleon has retreated from Moscow, and we have won a great victory over the French in Spain. Is the world going to convulse still further at the publication of the memoirs of Miss Harriet Wilson?
I hardly think so, sir.
Right. I shall say publish and be damned.
Good for you, sir.
What's all that din going on out there? Go and see, will you, Alex?
Forgive the lack of clarity, my lord, but I have extraordinary news for you.
Yeah, I really have long expected it. We have peace, have we not?
I don't know about that, my lord, but Napoleon's abdicated.
Abdicated? There, you made me cut myself. Abdicated, you say?
Yes, sir.
Upon mine honor. Hurrah!
With the Battle of Toulouse in April 1814, the war effectively ended, and the Spanish and Portuguese forces with their camp followers returned to their homeland. Likewise, the British troops made their way to Bordeaux to embark for England. Now, what went on in Lord Wellington's mind with peace having been declared? Could he possibly have contemplated a life by the fireside with Kitty? Unlikely.
my friend Harry Smith had no plans beyond introducing his Spanish bride to his family in Cambridgeshire. However, their home leave was not to be of long duration. In March 1815, that old fox Napoleon, actually he was still only 45, escaped from Elba and raised his standard in the south of France. His old troops rallied to him, and by June of that year, he was in Belgium, confronting a scratch international army commanded by General Wellington, now elevated to a dukedom. Supporting the Duke was a Prussian force under General von Blücher. The Smiths were once again on active service, Harry having been posted as brigade major to General Sir John Lambert, commanding 6th Division. And, of course, that old campaigner Juanita, now at least 16, wasn't going to be left behind.
Enrique, why do I have to go back to Antwerp?
Because it has been decreed that that is where the baggage has to go. And you're a baggage.
Very funny. But why can't I come as far as divisional headquarters?
Because there's almost certainly going to be a big battle. And if the Duke catches you in the front line again, he'll never ask you to any more of his balls, picnics or parties. Ever.
I'm not going to ask you to dance, Juanita, because I may have to leave soon, but take my arm and let us circulate.
With pleasure, Your Grace.
Now, who do you know?
There seem to be many people from England I don't know.
Oh, they're the Richmond's fashionable friends. The Duke and Duchess have made Brussels all the rage this year.
And are those what you call English roses sitting there all in a row?
Yes, and I make them all fearfully jealous by promenading with you.
Oh, how lovely.
Ah, Napier. You know my little guerrillera from Badajoz, don't you?
Indeed I do, Your Grace. Good evening, Juanita.
Good evening, Major Knightley.
Oh, look, there's Slender Billy.
Prince William of Orange. Used to be one of my ADCs in the peninsula. Commands all the Belgian and Dutch forces.
Wasn't he engaged to be married to your Princess Charlotte?
Turned him down, poor fellow. Just didn't fancy him. Can't really say I blame him.
Harry?
Hello, Alex, old boy. Take a glass of wine with me.
No, thanks. Listen, all military personnel are to return to their units, but not all at once and not obviously, if you know what I mean. Bony spies could be in this ballroom.
Right. Where's the commander-in-chief?
Looking at maps in the library. He's going to stay to the last moment so as not to give the game away.
I follow.
Pass the word round discreetly, like a good fellow.
I was just beginning to enjoy the party, damn it. I hate balls. Always end up drinking too much. It's all Juanita's fault. Can't get her away from the dance floor. She's getting spoiled, the baggage. If the Duke called her his little guerrillero once, he did it a dozen times. Now the bloody rain's got to my saddle. Damn it!
Harry Smith was present at the Battle of Quatre Bras, when von Blücher's Prussians got a trouncing, but not an outright defeat. That was on the 17th of June, 1815. Rather late the following morning, Sunday the 18th, the rain cleared away, leaving the cold, hungry, and sodden armies facing each other with little stomach for a fight. It was, nevertheless, the morning of what we now call the Battle of Waterloo. Harry was dispatched by his divisional commander to make contact with Duke.
Ah, the party's started.
I dare say we shall get every delicacy of the season today. Hello? There's old Scavell, the quartermaster general. I'm in trouble with his horse, by the looks of it.
You there, sir! You in the rifle? Oh, confound the bloody animal!
You'll find the bank less steep just here, sir.
Thank you. Come up, you bloody animal! Confound you!
Is the baggage clear back there, can you tell me?
No, sir, I'm afraid not. They're pretty well blocking the Hain Road.
Confound it, the Duke will make a meal of me if he can't get his reserves up.
Where is the Duke, sir?
Hougoumont. Those farm buildings, you can just see them on the skyline.
Hougoumont's taking a pounding. That it always looks worse from a distance. Guards brigade there? Trust old Nosey to be at the sharpest end. It's his first battle face-to-face with Boney. Boney and Nosey. Nosey and Boney. I wonder if they're both aware of it. There go Picton's Highlanders, moving into position. 1st 95th should be there somewhere. Probably in or near Le Haye Saint. That should be the Charleroi Road. Yes, it is. My God, the mud! Hope old chap doesn't cast a shoe. That looks like Alex Gordon. They're good.
Hello, Harry. What brings you here?
I need a word with your governor.
Go ahead. Harry Smith, your grace.
Hello, Smith. Where are you from?
6th Division, General Lambert, your grace.
What have you got?
The 4th, 27th in the Skillens, and the 40th with the 81st in reserve.
How are they?
Excellent, your grace. Very strong.
Good, good. Now, tell General Lambert I'm putting the Hanoverians, who are new to the game, under his command, and tell him when I give the order, and not before, to bring his division up to the left of General Picton, because, if I'm not mistaken, that's where you're going to be needed. Is that clearly understood?
Yes, quite clear, sir. Oh, God! What was that?
A shell. Very animating.
Indeed.
Now, do you know La Haye Sainte, where your first battalion is?
I know where it is, sir.
There's a tree on the other side of the road, opposite the farm. That's where I shall be.
Look, Marco. There's old Nosey under his tree again, and he's having a death over his spine glass.
Well, you better be careful, Billy. You might want to know where that cold partridge came from. Here, pass the vin blanc.
Oh, my word. Drinking on duty, Pongo. You wouldn't want to be losing them stripes again, would you?
Captain Kincaid of the 95th Rifles. Our battalion was in a large sandpit with the object of defending the western flank of an important feature in the centre of our line, the farmhouse and buildings of La Haye Sainte. Boney was a bit late in starting on the morning of the 18th of June, but when he did... I had been in a number of battles in the peninsula, but never had I heard so much noise, nor seen so much shot and shell at any given time as at about 11:30 o'clock when we were near Waterloo.
Major Harry Smith. How the Commander-in-Chief knew so exactly what was to befall us will always remain a mystery. But doubtless that's where greatness lies. Indeed, battle had not been joined more than 2 hours when the Belgian and Dutch troops to the left of Sir Thomas Picton fled in total disarray. Our 6th Division immediately received the order to advance and fill the gap. It was at this time a sergeant and 3 troopers of Ponsonby's dragoons, covered in mud and blood, galloped past us going to the rear. For a moment, my heart sank. Could it be that our cavalry were also in retreat? But then, as they passed General Lambert, the sergeant raised high a newly captured French eagle, and a great hurrah went up from the Enniskillens.
Captain Hull Gronow of the Foot Guards. I was absent without leave from duty at St. James's Palace, and had, as a result of a bet, managed to attach myself as a supernumerary to General Picton's staff. At about 2 o'clock, Marshal Ney, with his first corps formed in 4 columns, advanced in echelon. they completely put to flight a Dutch-Belgian brigade and attacked Picton's division. It was then that that noble soldier was killed by a musket ball. Soon afterwards, a senior member of his staff called me over and said, "Bruno, there's nothing for you here. I think you'd better go and join your own regiment, or you may get in a scrape for being absent without leave."
The French threw their full weight on our center at La Haye Sainte and General Allen's division to the east of it. And there was a moment when I could clearly distinguish Marshal Ney dancing about like a monkey, trying to animate his men. We held them off, but at a terrible cost. Our colonel wounded, likewise our second in command, and many of the subalterns. Of our company officers, I was the only one left standing up, though my poor horse was separated from one of his ears and had his hide punctured in two places.
The worst damage to our square was done by the massed French artillery. When their heavy cavalry finally attacked, the ground was so sodden that they could scarce move faster than a trot, and being unable to penetrate our wall of bayonets, all they could do was ride around us, brandishing their sabers and shouting abuse. I thought, thank God Juanita is safe and sound in Antwerp.
When my horse Chiquito bolted, we were about 6 miles from Brussels on the Antwerp road. It was not Chiquito's fault. I had not gathered him up properly. When two British officers galloped by saying, "The battle is lost. The French are coming." I knew at that moment that Enrique was dead, because he would have been in the thick of the fight. Frightened by the other horses, Chiquito bolted. After many miles, there was a cart overturned on the road. Chiquito reared, but I managed to get hold of the curb rein at last. But I was alone, with no money, no waste, and little idea of where I was.
The charges of the French cavalry were in appearance very formidable. The very earth shook under the enormous weight of men and horses. But in reality, they were a relief, since their artillery could not fire on us. At 4 o'clock, our square was a perfect hospital, being full of the dead, dying and mutilated.
The battle had been going since about 10 o'clock in the morning. I was with my regiment, the 43rd, at the right of the line. In the late afternoon, I well remember the dread sight of the whole Guard Imperial in their tall bearskins advancing en masse in a last attempt to win the day before nightfall. But the foot guards on our left stood firm, despite fearful casualties. Then, John Coburn, our colonel, had an inspiration. Moving us at speed for which we as light infantry had been trained, we outflanked the Guard Imperial as they engaged with our men and poured such a deadly fire into their exposed flank that all but the bravest broke and ran.
What did it matter what happened to me if my Enrique was dead? But I had to know, to find his body if need be. So I turned Chiquito's head to where I thought the battlefield must be.
It had been hard pounding all day. By early evening, I noticed between two French cavalry charges, the Duke, accompanied by his aide, Colonel Alexander Gordon, enter our square. After sitting calmly for a while on his favorite charger, observing all that was taking place, he turned to Gordon and said, "If the Prussians come soon, the day is mine." Then he added, "What o'clock is it?" Gordon took out his timepiece and was about to reply when a stray bullet knocked him to the ground, from which he was never more to rise.
By the time I left Brussels behind me, I seemed to be the only person going towards the sound of gunfire. Thousands of men, mostly wounded, accompanied by gun carriages, limbers, carts and horses, were all moving slowly towards the city. I stopped by some walking wounded of the 44th Regiment in General Fike's brigade and asked them for news of Brigade Major Smith. I knew what reply to expect. Brigade Major Smith, they said, had been killed at the same time as General Picton.
Sometime after 5 o'clock, General Lambert sent me down to the sand pit to extricate the 95th if necessary. I passed by my old 13 platoon where Sergeant Prickett told me their new officer, just out from England, was dead. As were a number of old Peninsula men. And, Prickett added, bomb-proof Palmer's going to do a die on us. No, he bloody ain't, gasped that poor fellow. It was evidently his last breath.
The light was beginning to go when we saw the Duke, quite by himself, Gordon was dying and Fitzroy had lost an arm, coming down the line. He raised his hat and said something, which, being now quite deaf from exposure to so much noise all day, I could not hear.
He raised his hat and spoke. These were his very words. Guards, get up and charge!
The battle was over. It was quite dark by the time we bivouacked somewhere in the neighborhood of La Belle Alliance, which had been Boney's headquarters during the day. Sitting by a fire, I was thinking tenderly of Juanita, contenting myself with the thought that, though miles away, she was safe in the hands of West and Jenny Cochran.
I arrived at the battlefield as daylight was fading. I was alone and friendless on a tired horse that had carried me close on 60 miles since dawn that day. Neither of us had any food, nor had I any money. Now all I could see was a sight so terrible that all hope of finding the body of my darling husband among so many quite vanished from me. In that moment of total despair, I remembered to do one thing I had sinfully failed to do all day. I started to pray. I prayed for help to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and to Christ's Holy Mother, who is one with God. I was thus praying when I thought I'd hear someone calling me.
Juanita? Juanita Smith?
Who is it calls me?
Why, it's William Napier. Don't you remember me?
Yes, Major Napier.
What in the name of goodness are you doing here?
I was praying for guidance, and you have come to help me. Thanks be to God.
Oh, there now. It'll be a privilege to help you, Juanita. Just tell me what I can do.
Help me to find my Enrique.
Harry? Oh, that shouldn't be too difficult. 6th Division have moved up to La Belle Alliance.
But he is dead.
What?
I asked some men who knew. They told me Brigade Major Smith was dead.
Oh, that would be General Pack's Brigade Major. Poor Smith, who spells his name with a Y. No, upon my honor, your Harry I've seen less than an hour ago. Not a scratch on him. Come with me. Harry Smith? Anybody seen Major Smith?
Yes, I'm here. Who's that?
William Napier.
Oh, hello, Napier. Come and take a swig of brandy. And who's that with you?
Enrique.
Juanita. What the hell are you doing here?
Enrique.
The last word must go to the hero of the day, who, for some, is still the greatest hero of any day.
To the Right Honourable the Lord Bathurst, my Lord, it gives me the greatest satisfaction to assure your Lordship that the army never upon any occasion conducted itself better than on the field of Waterloo. Oh, damnation, take it. How can I bring myself to write such cant? Dear Bathurst, together with my official dispatch, I'm writing this personal note to you. Thank God I do not know what it is to lose a battle. But certainly nothing can be more painful than to gain one with the loss of so many friends.
An historical postscript. Harry ended his distinguished career as General Sir Harry Smith, Governor of Cape Colony. But to the young girl he rescued from the siege of Badajoz came even greater fame. Juanita gave her name to a small town in South Africa which will forever be remembered for another siege, this time in the Boer War, a town called Ladysmith. In The Long Road to Waterloo, the second of two linked plays by Peter Luke based on his own novel, The Other Side of the Hill, Michael Pennington played Lord Wellington, John Moffat, Major William Napier, Dominic Rickards, Major Harry Smith, Cyril Jenkins, Juanita, Philip Sully, Don Julian Sanchez, June Tobin, Madre Soledad, and David March as Goya. Major Fitzroy Somerset was played by Christopher Good, Captain Alexander Gordon, David Bannerman, Rifleman West, Eric Allen, Sergeant Prickett, Ronald Herdman, Rifleman Doubleday, Clarence Smith, Rifleman Jackman and Captain Freer, Mark Straker, Rifleman Palmer, Neil Roberts, Captain Kincaid, Terence Edmund. Captain Sula, Captain Dan Cardo, and Captain Grono, Alan Barker. General Skerritt and Colonel Ponsonby, Brett Usher. Quartermaster General Scovell and Oriana, Charles Millam. Corporal Costello, Andrew Winkett. Jenny Cochran, Susan Sheridan. General Pakenham and General Vandeleur, Colin McFarlane, Harriet Wilson, Melanie Hudson. Sister Rosario and Fanny, Teresa Stratfield, Victoria, Emma Fielding. The music was composed and conducted by Tom Eastwood and performed by Paul Archibald, Richard Benjafield, Adrian Brett, Charles Dickey, Bill Worrell, and Simon Weinberg. The Other Side of the Hill was directed by Glyn Biermann.